Fisheries Commission to order. North Carolina General Statute 138A-15E mandates at the beginning of any meeting of a board, the chair shall remind all members of their duty to avoid conflicts of interest under Chapter 138. The chair also shall inquire as to whether there is any known conflict of interest with respect to any matters coming before the board at that time. Does anybody recognize the potential for a conflict of interest on what we're going to be discussing today? If not, I'd like for y'all to read and digest North Carolina General Statute 143B289.54.G2. And with that being said, Laura, would you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Chairman. Commissioner Cross?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Blanton?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Here.
Thank you. And Chairman Bizzle?
Here. Okay, we have a quorum. We may conduct business. Before you also is our agenda. As you can see, there is no public comment time for these topics as we had them at our last meeting. So those have already been received and weighed. May I have a motion to approve our agenda for today?
So moved, Hendrickson.
Commissioner Hendrickson makes the motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second?
Second, Posey.
Commissioner Posey makes second. Any further discussion on the agenda? Not. Roll call, Laura.
Commissioner Cross?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Blanton?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Aye.
Thank you. Chairman Bizzle?
Aye.
Thank
you. Motion passes without dissension. You should have received several documents for your review. One is a yellow line document with lines to it and some red lines added to it and verbiage along those lines. What we're going to be looking at today is a cleaned up version of those rules, taking in the public comment that was given towards these rules. And I'd like to ask our rulemaking coordinator, Catherine Bloom, to take us through these rules, these 9 rules. They are independent rules, but they are definitely interrelated. What I'd like to do is if there's an urgent question or concern about the rule, ask it after that rule. Otherwise, we'll open it up for some discussion after all 9 rules are presented. So, Catherine, you're up to bat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those that don't know me, my name is Catherine Bloom, and I'm the division's rulemaking coordinator. And at this point, I'm going to share my screen to share the document that the chairman just referenced. If you give me just a moment here, it'll take a second to load. It's still trying to load, just bear with me.
No problem. We'll wait to the end of time for you, Catherine.
It's progressing, it's just moving slowly.
You're not on Tom Henderson's computer, are you?
No, sir.
Hey, mine's fast. It just won't let me connect straight in through WebEx for some reason.
Okay, I think we're getting there.
I can see it now, Catherine.
Okay, great. Let me just zoom this up a little bit and center it, and we can get going. All right. Sorry for the delay. We're there now.
Yes.
As the chairman mentioned, there's a couple different versions of the rules that have progressed. And so if you'll note, in the version that we're looking at for today, there is a date of today's date, September 9th, here in the header of the document so that folks make sure that they're following along in the correct document. So just look for that date in the header. So let me scroll down and get the first rule on the screen. There we go. All right. So as a way to get started, I'm just going to briefly describe the formatting of this document to help you understand what you see here. And that's especially true for those folks that were not in attendance at your August meeting. These rules were originally published in the North Carolina Register for readoption without any changes. And changes are now proposed for final approval to first address the written public comments submitted by the Wildlife Resources Commission during the formal public comment period that was held last fall for these rules, and second, to conform the rules to the authorizing statutes. Additional proposed changes take into account the September 1st edits the division received from the Wildlife Resources Commission staff. And that's the document with the red line edits that the chairman briefly mentioned. In general, text that is proposed to be deleted is shown as struck through, and text that is proposed to be added is shown with underlining. For a simple example here on line 14, you can see the word which is proposed to be struck, and the word the is proposed to be added. And then any text that is proposed to be changed since the rule was published in the North Carolina Register must also be highlighted yellow. So that brief description of the formatting hopefully makes it easier to understand the proposed changes that are shown. And I'll walk through each of the 9 rules to summarize the changes that are proposed since your August 26th business meeting. So here in the first rule, Q0101, scope and purpose, on lines 10 and 11, the phrase when concurrent jurisdictions exist has been replaced with what's highlighted here, which is due to the existence of concurrent jurisdiction. And this simple clarification removes the possible perception of a conditional criterion by not using the word when, which could imply a situation when there is not concurrent jurisdiction, and that's not what's intended here. Since these rules are in place due to the existence of concurrent jurisdiction between the two agencies, that phrasing is more clear. And similarly, on line 13, right here, the phrase specified herein has been replaced with the phrase specified in this section, meaning specified in these 9 rules. And again, this improves the clarity of the rule. On line 18, the word both right here has been added for consistency, and the wording appears in 2 other rules for both marine fisheries inspectors and wildlife protectors when both types of officers are being referred to. So for consistency across the group of rules, the word both is proposed to be added here, and there's no change in the meaning with doing that. And then I've got to scroll down just a little to get to line 22 of the history note of this rule. Right here, you can see the addition of General Statute 113-292. And this law is entitled Authority of the Wildlife Resources Commission in Regulation of Inland Fishing and Introduction of Exotic Species. And it is the analog to the law for the Marine Fishery Commission's authority over marine and estuarine resources in coastal fishing waters, which is General Statute 113-182. You can see right next to it. Regulation of Fishing and Fisheries is the title of that law. So as we move through the other rules, you will see that the WRC statute 113-292 has been proposed to be added to the majority of the history notes of these rules. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the changes since your August 26th meeting on this first rule. You asked for me to pause in between just to make sure there's questions as we go.
Right. Any okay. questions at this point? If not, we'll move on to 0102. Okay, Catherine, go ahead.
All right. So let me square this one up. Get everything on the screen. There we go. All right. So Q0102, inland fishing waters, on line 10 of this rule, original text has been restored, and the version presented on August 26th proposed text that links to General Statute 113-174.1, and that's the law for the Coastal Recreational Fishing License, or CRUFL. And the so the lines in question we're talking about are right here, line 10 and 11, paragraph B. So the addition of this citation was proposed across the group of rules. However, it is not applicable in inland fishing waters, and so it has been removed. The original text has been restored. And then again, on line 16, as described in the last rule, General Statute 113-292 is proposed to be added. And again, that's the analog to the law for the Marine Fishery Commission's authority. And that's all the changes since August 26th for this rule, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions okay. on this? If not, we'll move on to 0103. Catherine?
Yes, sir. All right. So here we are, Q0103, coastal fishing waters. And on lines 9 and 10, right here, you can see that originally text was proposed to be struck, and that text is regulations and licensing of. In the version of the rule presented on August 26th, the new text to replace this read, rules regarding licensing in accordance with General Statute 113-174.1. Again, that law is the CRUFL law, and the issue with that phrasing that was there August 26th is that laws are what establish licenses, not rules. And the language read, rules regarding licensing. So it's important to cite the CRUFL law here. So to address the issue, you can see the text that is now proposed on lines 9 and 10, and it separates it into two pieces. So we had regulation and licensing of, so now it is regulation of fishing in coastal fishing waters and licensing of fishing in coastal fishing waters in accordance with the CRUFL law. So this is a little bit longer, but it is now accurate and more clear. The next change, I need to scroll down some into further into the rule, down on line 29. And here you see the addition of the words and laws, so that the phrase reads rules and laws. This phrase appears in other places in the rules, and the words and laws was missing here. And so the change makes the text consistent across the group of rules. And then finally on line 34, the addition of that WRC statute has been added to the history note. And that's everything for this rule, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any questions or comments about the proposed changes on this rule? If not, Catherine, move on to the next, please.
Okay, so the next rule is Q0104, joint fishing waters. And on lines 4 and 5 of the rule, you see the addition of text that links to General Statute 113-129, and that is where joint fishing waters is defined in law. Similar text was already added in the last two rules, 0102 for inland fishing waters and 0103 for coastal fishing waters. Both of those cited this same statute where they are defined. And inadvertently, this rule, that citation was left out. So the change makes that group of rules consistent. And here on lines 13 and 14, you should recognize this from what I said on the last rule. And so here we had that same phrase, rules and laws regarding fishing, and the words and laws were missing. And so they've been added here again, just for consistency across the group of rules. And then finally in the history note, the addition of the WRC statute as previously described. And that's all for this rule, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any questions on any of the proposed changes on this rule? Not, Catherine, please go on to 0105.
Okay, the next two rules, we've got Q0105, posting dividing lines, and Q0106, applicability of rules in joint waters. Those two rules contain no additional changes since your August 26th meeting. So I will move on to rule 0107. Here it is. And that's special regulations for joint fishing waters. In this rule, as well as in the next rule, Q0108, which is management responsibility for estuarine striped bass in joint fishing waters, in each of these two rules, the changes since your August 26th meeting consist of the addition of that same statute in the history note. So scrolling down through this rule at the bottom, you can see on line 2 where the statute has been added. And then similarly in Q0108 near the bottom where the statute has been added. Since those are pretty simple changes, I'll go ahead on to Q0109, which is the last rule. And I'll square that one up a little bit here. There we go. So for Q0109, implementation of estuarine striped bass fishery management plan, recreational fishing, just a couple changes here to describe. On line 8, right here, the word equivalent was there and it has been removed from the phrase that now reads established through which management measures shall be implemented. So further down in the rule, in item 1, right here, this is for the Roanoke River Management Area, and that is under the authority of the Wildlife Resources Commission. Text has been removed that was proposed on line 12. So the text that's missing appeared between these two words right here on line 12. And so that text can be seen in item 2 right here, which is for the Albemarle Sound Management Area under the authority of the Marine Fisheries Commission. And the language in question is on lines 17 and 18 that reads, the season shall close by proclamation if the quota set by the North Carolina Estuarine Striped Bass Fishery Management Plan is projected to be taken. So that language was already part of item 2. It was just modernized to refer to the plan, and those changes were described on August 26. The same language previously appeared in item 1 for the Wildlife Resources Commission's Roanoke River Management Area. It has been removed from item 1, which is going to provide an opportunity for the two agencies to discuss consistent and equivalent management of striped bass as part of continuing development of Amendment 2 to the North Carolina Estuarine Striped Bass Fishery Management Plan, which is well underway. And then for this rule, the last change, same thing down here on line 24, is the addition of that same statute to the history note of the rule. So that concludes the update on the changes that are proposed to these rules since your August 26th meeting. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Chairman Bizzle.
Thank you, Catherine. Great job as always. The Wildlife Resources Commission sent its comments on the joint rules in November of 2020. Division Marine Fisheries staff incorporated many of those changes and attempted to address wildlife's concerns and the draft rule language that was circulated prior to our August meeting. Wildlife had additional concerns with the August draft, and I delayed action on these 9 rules so that I could hear their concerns. They sent a redline version of the rules with additional suggested changes that you all received on Tuesday from Laura. Last week, I, along with the Division of Marine Fisheries staff and Commission Council, met with Wildlife's chair, staff, and council. We went through Wildlife's suggested changes rule by rule so that they could explain the reason behind their suggestions. Some of these changes improved the clarity and accuracy of the rules and were incorporated into the draft language for consideration today. The other changes represent a significant departure from our commission's and DMF's understanding of the authority in joint waters and from the historical management of fisheries in these areas. These changes are in the Wildlife Resources Commission edited document in your materials, but they were not incorporated in today's draft and are not being recommended for adoption. I'd like to open it up now for any discussion, comments, or questions about these 9 rules. Doug Cross.
I have a motion, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like me to wait.
Well, let's just wait and see if there's any discussions. I want to be upfront and all with all this. Martin, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. So this is, I guess, for staff. I'm pretty sure the answer is no, but just to confirm, the changes that are being made do not in any way alter jurisdictional boundaries in terms of inland and coastal waters or joint waters.
No, this does not address delineation at all. If that's what you're talking about. Okay, great. Thanks. Mr. Koenig.
Hey, Chairman, I wonder if it would be a good idea for you to explain how these differences are going to be resolved in the future.
Well, there is a process. And Sean, tell me, does this go first off to Wildlife for their votes or to the Rules Committee for them to take a look at them? Who gets these first?
And actually, I think Catherine might have a better grasp on who goes next.
Does this go to the Rules Regulatory or to Wildlife first, Catherine?
So the process in the APA does not overtly speak to when you have dual agencies involved, but it does speak to that when a body takes action, if the commission were to approve these rules today, then there is a 30-day window within which to submit those rules to the Rules Review Commission. So that is what I need to follow as far as the administrative side of, you know, submitting the rules. When the Rules Review Commission receives those, the first question they're going to ask is, has the other agency acted on these rules yet? And if the answer is no, then they at Rules Review Commission will not be able to proceed until that action has taken place.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Koenig, what will happen eventually is Wildlife will get these 9 rules for their vote. We will also get 11 rules from them for our vote. And if the rules don't mesh and the vote doesn't mesh, we will probably be designated by the governor's office to work them out. If we can't work them out, they will more than likely end up on his desk to make a call on what we do. So we're still months off from these things being put to bed.
Yeah. Okay. It's just extremely important to have good working groups together between the two agencies, because I've been involved with this personally over the last many years. And the earlier the differences get worked out, obviously, the better off we all are. And I don't think any of us want this to end up in the governor's office. Thank you.
I agree 100% with everything you said. Okay, anybody else with a question or comment?
Mr. Chairman, this
yes,
is Pat. Yeah, yes. If I could just add to just to Commissioner Koenig's concerns, we continue to work with Wildlife staff. We had another meeting with them late yesterday afternoon to talk further about these joint rules and how we may come to some sort of agreement. As the chairman pointed out, eventually we're going to have joint rules that mesh, and we will continue to work towards that. As we know that we're not there right now, but we're going to have to get there one way or the other, and we continue to work with wildlife staff on that.
Thank you, Chair. We are one of the very few, if not the only, situation or scenario where two agencies have to approve each other's rules. This is something that is unique, and if it gets pushed to the end, it's going to be the first time, and it's going to be interesting how it is approached. Any other comments or questions? If not, Commissioner Cross, I see your hand is still up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Doug Cross. I'd like to make a motion that we readopt with changes the September 9th revision from the Division of Marine Fisheries pertaining to 15A NCAC 03Q.0101-0109.
Okay. Patricia, can you pull that up for us, or Dana, whoever's going to be doing that?
Patricia will have it up in just a moment.
Okay, no problem. Mr. Cross, is that your motion as you made it?
That looks better than when I see it.
Okay, is there a second to it?
I'll second. This is Posey.
Second, Commissioner Posey. Further discussion? If not, Laura, would you do roll call, please?
Yes, Chairman. Commissioner Blanton?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Cross?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Aye.
Thank you. And Chairman Bissell?
Aye.
Thank you.
The motion passes without dissension. Since this was a special meeting and we had to highlight what we were meeting about, there is no further business, and we stand adjourned. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.